Welcome to Real Talk with Life After Grief, Chris, where we talk about relevant issues as it relates to individuals in grief as they navigate finances and the advisors who help them. We help clients in grief navigate financial matters. We also teach advisors how to emotionally and financially work with clients in grief through an unparalleled process. This week's podcast is sponsored by Life After Grief Financial Planning and Life After Grief Consulting.
Hello and welcome back to another season of Real Talk with Life After Grief, Chris. This is season 5, and I am going to do something a little bit different this season. This season is going to have a theme around it, and the theme is Super Survivor. It's all about super survivors. I'm going to have some super survivors on the podcast, and of course, I'm going to talk about some personal examples. In this episode, the inaugural episode of season 5, I'm going to tease you and I'm going to talk about the power of resiliency, and I'm going to lead up to our first super survivor in episode 2. So just so you know, a super survivor is a person who has developed resilience in grief and has taken it a step further to do good for others. I also want to define resiliency in terms of grief. Resiliency is simply the ability to recover quickly from life's most difficult tragedies. Quickly is relative. However, resilience is not always an innate trait. Some have to learn it, and some resiliency is built in. Mine was built in, I would say, probably as early as in adolescence. And it was not by genetics, but by life circumstances. And I'll get into a little bit about that in probably another podcast. I am going to quote a really marvelous book that I have read recently, and it's all about resiliency. This particular excerpt comes from page 8, and the title of the book is called Resilience: The Science of Mastering Life's Greatest Challenges by Stephen M. Southwick and Dennis S. Charney. A resilient person may be deeply affected by traumatic events and may experience psychological symptoms such as depression, recurrent intrusive memories, or hypervigilance, but it does mean being able to carry on with important facets of one's life in spite of painful and distressing symptoms, or even full-blown PTSD. In some definitions, resilience also entails the ability to grow from adverse events and find meaning in them. So I'm going to use my life, as I normally do, as an example of resilience. As you know, I got knocked down by death 4 times in a 4-year period. And in each circumstance, I learned one more tip to help me after each tragedy. Here's some things that I did to develop resiliency. And again, this is from the book that I just quoted. It's focus on the positive. I had really no choice but to do that. Things were so horrendous at the time. Cultivate positive thoughts. That's easier said than done, but what I always would say to myself, this is going to be a good day. It's going to be a good day. And today I was actually reminded by a gentleman that I overheard telling other people how amazing they were. And interpret events positively. And again, that's easier said than done. And how I interpret events positively, no matter how glaring or daunting the event is, I always say that this is going to pass. And behave positively. One of the things that I do in ways to behave positively is I volunteer. That helps me tremendously. I've also put guardrails in place to help me recover quickly after the next and possibly unknown, tragedy. And I would say guardrails, I would interchange that as I was putting a foundation in place. And I'm going to place these into categories. First is the psychological. So I locate, or I attempt to locate, folks with similar experiences. That's not always the case. If I'm unable to do that, I locate folks within my network that are willing to listen to me and really willing to empathize with what I'm going on. I always recommend seeking out a professional. Always, always, always. And I am not somebody that preaches that and doesn't do that. Taking therapy with a counselor at several intervals in my lifetime. Spirituality and renewing my faith. So I do that. I have recently reached out to my spiritual advisor and had a conversation, and that was good therapy for me. And then giving back through volunteering. Also very, very good therapy. And actually, in the book that I read, that was one of the number one things that was mentioned. In volunteering, I know that I promote this and talk about this, but volunteering allows you to kind of come outside of yourself and see someone else's situation, and it gives you a perspective of really what you're going through. 9 times out of 10 when I'm volunteering, I see that other folks' situation is different and in many times harder than what I'm going through. And the next one is surrounding myself with the right people and garnering support. So through the foundation that I've built, there are people that I can go to who I know that will listen to me and not necessarily judge me, but they're just listen and validate what I'm telling them. And the other one is very hard. It's reaching out and asking for help. I've learned to do that. At the onset, when both of my folks passed away, I did not reach out and I did not ask for help. Well, now I do that. Sometimes I have to be reminded of that. So those were all the, what I would categorize as the psychological aspects of resilience. The next one is the physical part. And this is, again, this was something that I kind of learned after going through what I went through, you know, some 15 years ago and then, you know, more recent. And number one, I'd say is getting enough rest. And I know that I need close to 8 hours of sleep because I exercise a lot as well. Also, and that is eating right and eating foods that are going to promote energy and then also exercise. So I tend to push myself physically with exercise and I don't overdo it when I am in a situation to where a trigger hits. And then I'm going to also say limiting alcohol consumption. Alcohol consumption, I would say, is a temporary fix and it will most likely lead to other issues later on. And the right way, getting enough sleep, eating right, and exercise, and I'm sure you can fill some other ones in. So ironically, I had a series of recent grief triggers that hit at once. And what it did for me is it reminded me of my resilience foundation, and the triggers became less in a shorter period of time, you know, since the last time I experienced a significant trigger. I was reminded to dig into my foundation and to use that as part of kind of my healing process. And that definitely helped. And here's the teaser that I spoke about. Unknowingly, through all of this life experience, I developed what's called a super survivor mentality. And this was bestowed on me by my good friend Carolyn Moore. And I hope to have her on a podcast to talk about super survivors. And this is what I would say a dramatic leap from simple resiliency. And it's a leap because it takes you into another realm of doing good for other people. And there are some key things that I did kind of, like I said, unknowingly in, you know, this super survivor, what I've been deemed by some folks. And I had no idea until they kind of called me out. I faced the facts. Again, these are some key things that I did. I faced the facts. I never denied or shied away from life. You know, things are what they are, and I just have to deal with them and kind of work around them. I chose life. And for me, when my folks passed away, it was a life or death situation for me. I had to either, as crazy as it sounds, die, or I had to figure out how to get going again. And I did that. And it was very hard, but I chose life. And reached out. And reaching out is speaking to someone. Again, I allude to, you know, counseling. I seek counseling when it's necessary and when I feel that I need it or when I'm encouraged to do so. I also reach out to my network of those who I deem my dream team of listeners and advisors. Again, I mentioned my spiritual advisor, and if anyone's read anything about me, I've used my spiritual advisor, you know, since I was 16 years old. Get moving. And what I did is I made plans for my next steps. And so, you know, going back some 15 years, I didn't know what my plans were, but my plans were the gift that I've been given. And it was going off on my own and ironically helping the people that were like me that, you know, when I didn't have any help or I didn't know that help existed. And then this is the aspect that really jumps someone into the super survivor realm is the ability to give back. I've taken all these things in my life that I've gone through and I give back and I utilize my experiences to help other people. And that's really what I've been told that separates my simple resiliency and it takes me into the realm of super survivor. And so, again, I am teasing you, but I'm going to bring on some super survivors during the course of this season. And I'm going to dig deep into, you know, what a super survivor looks like. And my hope is that it brings motivation and it gives hope for someone that may have a glaring life circumstance. With that, I'm going to sign off and going to see you on the next episode. If you like this episode or any others, please feel free to subscribe. And also remember, this is season 5, so there's 4 other seasons that we did. Cheers and be well. Talk to you in the next episode.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you are a client and are looking to work directly with Chris and or our firm, head on over to Life After Grief FP. That is Life After Grief FP. The FP is for financial planning. If you are an advisor looking to emotionally and financially work with your client in grief, or if you are a client looking to get your advisor's head in the game, head on over to lifeaftergriefconsulting.com. That is lifeaftergriefconsulting.com. Any related information referenced in this week's podcast will be located here in the podcast section.